Simico. Bill Rodrick.
Go ahead, Martin.
I said I thought he was excited. I didn't say that I was terribly excited, but I found him interesting.
Well, I mean, you said you thought... Didn't you use the words you thought he was terribly exciting?
I said I found him terrible.
No, you didn't know.
No, wait. I said he was terribly, and then I paused, and I got some tea, and then I said excited. All right.
Yeah, that's what you said. So you found that guy sexy.
Well, hold your horses there, Tonto. I didn't say he's sexy. I said he was terribly exciting.
And terrible.
And terrible. Obviously, he doesn't do his job very well because he was predicting that they would find a child underneath a wheelbarrow, right?
Yeah, he made a prediction. This was Piccadilly Billy, a guy that would, a guy that abducted children, but didn't do anything with them other than just take them weird places and leave them with a sack lunch and tickets to the cinema.
Well, no, I wasn't. That was just that one time.
Yeah, he didn't. I think he left them with a sack because I looked up Piccadilly Billy. He left them with a sack lunch, sometimes with a thermos of soup, and sometimes with just a thermos of tea, depending upon the age of the child, and vitamins.
What is this guy? That's the weirdest thing I ever heard. He's taking children from the home. He's scaring the hell out of the parents, but then he's leaving the kids with a lunch and vitamins.
Well, what are you going to... Why are you being a hard ass about it?
Because a guy like that would still earn my wrath. To take your child, you know where your kid is? I'll bring it up again, Margaret, and you're going to really... Because you disappointed me last night.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about your son... Jason J. Delmonico, you don't want to think of your son in terms of these things.
I won't hear it, Phil. Jason J. Delmonico, here's the difference. And people always misunderstand this. I'm not saying, all I'm telling you is Jason J. Delmonico would never get Del Monte. What am I saying? Jason J. Delmonico. I'm having palpitations.
Well, just sit down and relax, okay? Because I think I know what you're... Jason J. Delmonico would never be abducted because it would just he's too smart.
Yes.
Okay. I think that's dangerous to think that way, Margaret.
All right. I'll bite. Why?
You'll bite. Why? Because he's still a child. He's a 14-year-old boy. And smart though he may be, these psychopathic predators, as we've been talking, are very smart. They are skilled. They are skilled in the hunt. I hate to put it that way, but that's the kind of sick animal they are. And they are skilled not only in the hunt, but in the capture and, yes, in the killing of their prey and their kids. And you're putting that, your boy, as smart as he is, why are you laying down now?
The palpitation, just keep talking. I'm listening. Bud, would you get me a paper towel?
Yes, ma'am.
What happened?
None of your beeswax.
So anyway, I think that they're very smart, and to put a kid, I'm not saying you put a kid in that situation, but to say, oh, Jason J. Delmonico's really smart, I think you're cruising for a bruising there, you know.
Well, Phil, again, thank you.
Yeah, put it on your crotch.
Did I, you dirty...
Wow! Right in the nose.
That's right, and that's with my left hand. I'm sorry, Phil, but there was leakage.
Oh, God.
You know what I'm really sick of is you commenting on every personal habit that I have.
Well, Margaret, how can we not? You belch. You're asking for paper towels. You're telling everybody every bowel movement you have. You're telling us when the toilet is plugged up. You're telling us when we need to get a plunger in there. You're telling us, you know...
Yeah, I was talking about this stuff.
So, I'm honest, and I want you to know what's going on so you don't have to have a plumbing bill of thousands of dollars. Would you rather have that?
No.
All right.
What I'd rather you do is quit eating those blocks of that Wiltshire cheese.
I like Wiltshire cheese, and how dare you?
Yeah, but a block of cheese.
You know what, Bud? I eat a block of cheese as opposed to having one for a brain, which is what you do. I eat it. You stick it between your ears. And you think with it. Go straight to hell.
You know, you gotta really clean your act up a little bit.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, you telling me to go to hell every time. That's the funniest thing I ever heard.
I didn't think it was funny.
I eat cheese, you use it for you think with it. All right, anyway, welcome back to our program, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'm having way too much fun for a guy who is, you know, I'm living life on the edge these days, man. What I would like to remind you of is that this Saturday night will be Saturday Night at the Movies on Phil TV, another double feature for you. It will be another double feature of some classic weirdness. We have featured on our Saturday Night movies, Robert, what have we had?
Well, last week we had Things to Come.
I know.
But I'm doing it, man. Last week we had Things to Come, and we had Dimension 13. We had Suddenly with Frank Sinatra. We had another one. Oh, yeah. Bucket of Blood, I think. Or was it Bucket of Blood? It was Bloody Pit of Hell. A Bloody Pit of Horror. Yeah, Bloody Pit of Horror. Diary of a Nude.
No, Diary of a Nudist.
Yeah, Diary of a Nudist. And another nudie cutie called, Dr. Sex.
Dr. Sex. Some of those films, we feature occasionally what they used to call nudie cuties. And all it was, all they were films with naked chicks in them. I mean, they would be doing things like in Diary of a Nudist, which is a bull, you know, I mean, you would think, like when we were kids, the neighborhood dads would have stacks of sunbathing magazines. You know, that's how you got away with looking at nudes because, well, this is sunbathing. And so it is a documentary type of investigation, and that is legal. But it's amazing because in the early 60s, you could not show nudity unless it was in the form of educating people about certain things. And so they would get away with showing lots of really hot-looking naked chicks by saying it's an expose and documentary on a nudist camp. And, you know, and naturally, as you know, or you may guess, nudist camps have got like regular-looking people. They don't all look like Playboy bunnies, except in this movie, they did. And then the other one was what?
Yeah, the other one's Dr. Sex on account of the guy's a
Dr. Sex.
He ain't a doctor of nothing. Nothing in that movie made any sense. But the fact was, even at the beginning of that film, in order to make it legal, even at the beginning of the voiceover, the actor says, so this is a satire. So they're just telegraphing right out of the gate to anybody in those days that was on any film board that could pull these movies from movie theaters. And this is, keep in mind, the early 60s, which you would have thought by then, but no. They are saying, so we thought we would satirize what a doctor of sex would do. All right, so now you're telling us to say, yes, it's a satire. And they got away with that. That movie, Dr. Sex, featured one scene that we all agreed was the best, and that was the belly dancing.
Well, it not only was the best, that actress was a great belly dancer, but she was a beautiful girl, and I'll leave the description of her body to the three of you, but I will say she was a wonderful dancer.
Yeah, and it was pretty hot, man. She had large breasts. She was wearing a, I guess, like a belly dancer's brief. I don't know what the hell you call it, but and that was it. And she's dancing for about 20 minutes, and it was pretty damn... and she, talk about beautiful. She was a gorgeous chick. So that was the big, if you'll pardon the expression, climax.
Yeah, you're going to get... I told you not to use that word.
Well, I just used it. That was the big climax of that film, that 15-minute naked dance by this really, really gorgeous blonde girl who today is in her mid-70s.
Yay!
Thank you.
Why would you blow the fantasy like that?
Because that's what she is. She's in her midst. She's this beautiful blonde. Go see the movie. She's fantastic. Fantasize about her. And now think of her today, 78. All right.
Oh, man, you ruined it for me.
Oh, well, isn't that too bad?
What? Hold on. This is serious, Phil. Frank's on the phone. I don't know if you want to talk to him. Hold on. What, dear? Yeah, Phil. Phil, would you talk to Frank?
Frank Gray is with us. Frank, how you doing?
Well, I'm better than Custer, young man, but I have to, and I'm sorry that I have to come on your program and tell you this, but when you said that he was 78, you're talking about Belinda Wardman, who was the belly dancer in Nude. Is that it?
No. Dr. Sex.
No, I know Dr. Sex. I know that film, but Nude, Evermore Nude, I think was, you know that one, Margaret?
Well, that was, that also had Belinda in it, but yes, Nude, Evermore Nude.
Oh, all right, so he was in that.
Yes, she was. She was in that film.
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying. So, yeah, see, and here's the thing what you do. You said, Phil, that he is now 78, and it ruined everything for me because I was listening to the show, and I was imagining the dance scene in nude, forevermore nude. And
okay, what's the name of the movie?
I just got done telling you.
Yeah, but Frank, it's called, Phil, it's three, nude, evermore nude.
So there's four nudes.
No, there's not four nudes. They've got about 100 nude.
No, there's four nude words.
What is she talking about?
I'll handle it, Frank. Yes, you're right. Nude, evermore nude.
No, forevermore nude. God, do I have to... I'm in a bad enough mood. Do I have to smack you when you come through the door tonight?
Frank, you know that if you ever raised your hand to me, you and John Henry would be the two oldest geldings on Earth. Thank you.
Are you going to the bathroom?
Yes, I am. That's what I always do when I make a really good point.
Yeah, when you mess a good point.
Did he just hit Dickman?
Yes, she did.
Well, tell her that I'm sorry, will you?
That's okay.
All right. Anyway, Phil, Doris, whatever the hell his name was a great dancer, had a great pair. You're absolutely right. I don't mean to be crude. And I got so excited when I heard you talking about this one dance scene there in Dr. Goldfarb, or what's the name of the movie?
Dr. Sex. Why don't you know the name of these films?
Oh, well, get a load of you. I don't collect them. Okay, I Dr. Sex, so...
Well, I know, but, we're talking about this you seem to know the dancer.
I do know the dancer, and I was fantasizing about him. I was thinking about him with those large breasts and the way he was shaking his ass, and the way he, with his blonde hair and his beautiful, cute lips, and I just imagined myself walking up to him and pulling his pants down. What's the matter? Your cat got your tongue?
No, not at all. So then what?
So then what?
So, all right, so how did I ruin it for you?
Well, I'm imagining you're building a word picture, and I'm getting thrilled beyond any normal confines. And then you go, and he's 78, and I almost wanted to regurgitate. I wanted to have an orgasm out of my mouth, okay? That's how I felt about that. So I wish in the future, if you're going to talk about one of the great nudie cuties like Doris Beaverton or Wishbone Sanders.
Who is he?
No, it's not a she. It's a he.
All right, who is she?
Well, Wishbone Sanders, you didn't know who he was?
No, who is she?
He was the greatest fan dancer of the mid-60s. Now, he would strip down. And then he'd have the fans, I forget.
All right, well, thank you very much, Frank.
Wait a minute, you're not going to...
Let's take a break.
What are you laughing about? That's tragic, the way Mr. Gray sounds like he doesn't know where he is.
My husband is fine. I will not have this discussion behind his back. Yes, he's having a difficult time some nights. He was... You know what he was doing?
Yeah, I have a sneaking suspicion, and I messed it up for him when I said she was 78.
Well, I think that was a little cruel.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. We got other stories to get to here tonight before we take a flying Finienza off the air. One of the actors in the Charlie Brown Peanuts television special has been jailed for threatening his former girlfriend and stalking her plastic surgeon. Wait till you hear this story. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And we do encourage you to join us with a backstage pass to philhendryshow.com and be a part of our BSP family. And you'll get this month, as part of our Customer Appreciation Month, you'll get free downloads with your subscription. One of the other things is we've got great customer service. We have fantastic customer service, in fact. And when you email us at customer service, you get your problem taken care of. Asking me about it on Facebook, you're more than welcome to, but I'm not the guy because I don't know how to deal with those problems. That's not my area of expertise. I know, like, if people will say, "Hey, Phil, you know, I'm having a hard time picking the stream up on my iPhone," and I'll say, "Well, I'm getting it fine, and we haven't had any other complaints. So if you contact our service guys, they will always tell you how to fix it." You know.
Well, why can't you do that?
I can do that. But what if that's not really even the right... I can say contact our service guys, but a lot of people will say, "Well, I'm talking to you."
Yeah, they think, "Well, you ought to have an answer on account of it's your website."
I don't have the answer, man. I'm not a technical guy. That's the way there's a place where you go for those answers. You understand?
Uh-uh.
What? You're the owner of the company.
I don't care if I'm the owner of the company. Look, there are guys that own football teams that don't know their ass from a hole in the ground about football, okay?
Well, I think that's a little cruel.
Well, I don't care. It's true, too. All I'm saying is that there is a process you can go through that is very, very helpful to you. It is our service email address. It's service@philhendryshow.com, and you can contact our tech support and all the other customer service, and they're fantastic, I'm telling you. And they help answer these problems right away. So generally, I think the service guys are around in the morning. We can't help you right then and there. If you're saying at 4 o'clock in the morning, "Hey, what's wrong with this?" We'll get to you, you know, when, you know, in the morning hours when we go to work. But I can tell you this much. They're terrific. Asking me, though, it may be the biggest mistake you ever make. Cue applause.
Yay. Thank you for your honesty, Mr. Henry.
Cut. Charlie Brown, voice actor to serve sentence in rehab. All right, Margaret, this is your story, and you know this one.
Well, I do, Phil. Peter Robbins, the original voice of the Peanuts character Charlie Brown, has been representing that character for a long time. He was at the Comic-Con in San Diego and has been, I think, for a number of years. I think he was there in 2008. I know you did the Comic-Con, did you not?
I did, yeah.
Anyway, I didn't want to... Don't give a speech. You did the Comic-Con, right?
Yes, I did.
That's all you... The man who was the original voice of Charlie Brown in Peanuts, which is the French. I know it irritates Phil, but I like to do it good. And so I'll say that again in case you are... If you're a teacher... can you move it along, please? Sorry, but if you are a teacher... the man who was the original voice of Charlie Brown in Peanut. Excuse me. What's he doing?
He's talking to me, not to you. He's doing it on... Just go on.
If he's saying I'm doing something wrong, I will have none of it.
Margaret.
All right. The man who was the original voice of Charlie Brown in Peanut, the Peanut television specials, was sentenced Wednesday to a year in jail for threatening his former girlfriend and stalking her plastic surgeon, and then was immediately released to a residential drug treatment center. So that's a full day. That's a very full day. You stalk your former you threaten your former girlfriend, you stalk her plastic surgeon, you're released into a residential drug treatment center. I'd say that's a full day. A judge warned Peter Robbins. Isn't that a benign name, Peter Robbins? It sounds so benign. A judge warned... Peter Robbins was his name. I want to sing it, you know.
Well, that's what you do very well, Margaret.
Thank you, Phil. I do. I wish I had the song by Login and Messina. And isn't that an interesting name to have? It was so... it foretold a different time, didn't it, Phil?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Never mind.
What did you say, Margaret? I'm sorry.
Login...
What about Login?
Am I looking at you and talking to you? I'm talking to him.
What about Login?
Login and Messina.
Loggins and Messina?
No, no, no. I said Login and Messina.
That are you supposed to do?
I'm going to kill him.
Bud, just be quiet. Hold on. I'm sorry. I have a tickle. What?
Never mind, Phil. I don't want to...
You're saying the guy's name is Login and that's somehow significant?
What do you do to get onto a computer?
You log in.
And you're not blown away by that?
No, I'm not blown away by the fact that there was a guy named Loggins and there was another guy named Messina.
Messina's got nothing to do with it. Unless you want to credit him with hot Messina or hot...
Sounds like semen, but...
All right, we're out of this. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show. You know, you got a vulgar mouth. You're stupid as hell.
Talking to me?
Yes, I am. And him, too.
Phil Henry.
Famous Phil Henry Show, and more metal news, and this having to do with the band As I Lay Dying. The lead singer of the band As I Lay Dying arrested by California authorities in a murder for hire plot, a murder for hire to kill his wife, his estranged wife. The lead singer of Grammy-nominated heavy metal band As I Lay Dying was arrested Tuesday in SoCal, as some people call it, or SoCal, right, Margaret?
There's no... Yes. SoCal. Or Cali.
Yeah, you know that whole Cali thing? It makes me want to regurgitate, which is a whole new word.
What's that mean?
Regurgitate and masturbate. So in other words...
You want to masturbate and throw up?
Yes. No, what I'm saying is that Cali thing, I refuse to say... I have refused to call California Cali because it sounds, dare I say the word, gay. All right, enough. Tim Lambesis, age 32, was arrested at a retail business in Oceanside in San Diego County, according to the San Diego County Sheriff's Office. The statement said detectives received information Thursday that Lambesis had solicited someone to kill his wife, who lives in nearby Encinitas. A task force from several law enforcement agencies quickly launched an investigation that led to the arrest. The department would give no further details on the investigation. As I Lay Dying, formed in San Diego in 2000, has released six albums, including 2007's An Ocean Between Us, which reached number 8 on Billboard's charts. A track from the album was nominated for a Grammy for Top Metal Performance. The band's latest Metro Detroit show was a December set. They're talking about Detroit because this is from a Detroit paper or a Detroit news source. What is this?
Detroit Free Press.
The Detroit Freak Press, yes.
No, the Detroit Free Press.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, the Detroit Free... I don't know.
Detroit Free Press? What do you mean you don't know? Detroit Free Press.
Yeah, that doesn't sound right.
What does it say there?
Detroit Free Press.
Okay. What's the name of the newspaper?
That we don't know.
Am I losing my mind?
Well, no. What they're saying is this. There's something wrong with that.
Yeah.
What's wrong with it?
It doesn't seem right.
Somebody's going to answer me straight, or I'm going to kick all three of you out of here.
We're joking with you, okay, Mr. Giggles? What a jackass.
You're kidding.
Yeah, we're just kidding with you, and you're all threatening us.
Take
it easy, man. I mean, you know, you got to relax, man.
All I said to the guys, let's pretend like we don't know why it's called the Detroit Free Press, and watch Phil have the runs.
Yeah, she said you'd Hershey squirted up. So
Can you shut up?
You hit Bud.
Yes, I did. The Hershey squirts.
That's what she said.
I thought it would be funny to watch you just go, ooh. See, I knew you'd laugh.
Yeah, and if we played that joke on you, you wouldn't be laughing, though, I'll tell you that much. In any event, the statement said detectives received information on Thursday that Lambesis had solicited someone to kill his wife who lives in nearby Encinitas. A task force from several law enforcement agencies quickly launched investigation. As I Lay Dying formed in San Diego while they laid there dying, and and has released six albums, including 2007's An Ocean Between Us, which reached number 8 on Billboard's charts, and I already read that part. The band's latest Metro Detroit show, and I already read that. It was not clear whether Lambesis had hired an attorney, and a phone message seeking comment left at a number listed in his name was not immediately returned, but then we didn't think it would be because that was kind of a stupid number to call, knowing that the guy, the last thing he wants to do is talk to our asses. According to its website, the band is scheduled to tour the country, yeah, fat chance, with several other metal acts, although all they got to do is hire a new singer.
Yes, that's, you know, big deal.
Yeah, that's kind of cruel.
I'm sorry, bud, but that's show business, man. The show must go on, and if the singer can't make the gig, then he's out of a job.
Wait a minute, but he's the leader of the band?
I don't know. I don't know if he's the leader of the band, but I guarantee you this. You think the band's going to give up making money because Jack Ball here pulled a harebrained stunt like trying to kill his ex-wife? I don't think so. According to its website, the band is scheduled to tour the country with several other metal acts later this month, including a planned July show at Pontiac's Crowfoot for openers Killswitch Engage. Crowfoot spokesman said the venue is waiting to learn whether As I Lay Dying will still appear. I think they will. I think you can take that to the bank, although it depends on the contract they have, right?
Well, if they have a deal with the individual members of the band that if any one member is unable to perform, then the entire band may not go on stage. I mean, I'm sure at some point they put together some sort of an agreement like that, but I don't know. I don't know the habits of these men. They don't look like people that I would want to engage in any business transaction. They look dangerous. They look misogynistic. They look violent. They look resentful. I'm looking into the eyes of this singer. He looks as if his tongue is... In other words, he may have a mental disability because he has one of those swollen tongues.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
You don't know about that.
No. Are you going to start telling me some other kind of spooky story here?
No, I'm not. How dare you accuse me? Do you see the stupid look on his face as if there's a disability going on? The tip-off is the big, fat, swollen tongue.
Yeah, well, Margaret's right, because my cousin... He had a problem. He would talk like that. And I go, open up your mouth, Eddie, and I'd see this big tongue.
You'd say, open up your mouth, Eddie.
Yeah, because I wanted to see.
So I'm looking at this singer, this Lambesis, and he looks like he's stalking about the stage like Frankenstein almost, just... Durr. And there he is. Look at the tongue. See, right there. See that?
Yeah, now I see it, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's say that he was stalking about the stage.
God, that took long enough.
Yeah, with the dramatic pause.
Because I'm blown away by some of the stuff I'm hearing tonight. Let's say he was stalking about the stage. And let's say he has all these problems. What is it with you bringing it up and making a big thing out of it?
Well, Phil, you asked me what I thought of the band, and I'm looking at this man, and he looks like he hates everything that walks and crawls. All right? As I did it one time. But I got over it.
What do you mean you did?
Yeah, what does that mean?
There was a point in my life where I hated everything that walked or crawled. And I would kill anything. I didn't kill anyone or kill anything. But there was a period.
Well, when was that?
Well, I think you know. It was right after Linda Evans she aced me for the Big Valley gig.
Yeah, that Big Valley show, Miss Gray. I watched that show, Miss Gray.
Yeah, Gray's my name, all right? Say it again and I'll tell you the same.
Okay, Miss Gray?
Yeah, Gray's my name. Say it again, I'll tell you.
Come on, can we move along here?
Well, I mean, you were trying to tell me, was that after the Linda Evans Big Valley, you want to kill everything or walk and crawl?
I did. After I found out that I did not get the Big Valley gig, again, I wanted to kill anything that walked or crawled.
That's about everything.
Yes, so it is.
Yeah, you was really disappointed, wasn't you?
Yes, I was disappointed, wasn't I? Jesus.
How about Linda Evans?
What about her?
Did you want to kill her?
Of course I didn't. It's figurative. Everything that walks or crawls means a level of people, not Hollywood. You're not going to go there. Anyone that lived east of City Hall.
Oh, I see, because the real estate value's down there.
No, I'm not about to kill anyone that lives west of La Cienega. Are you out of your mind?
All right, well, thank you very much, Margaret, for that. So we find out that you had, you can certainly identify with the singer of As I Lay Dying because you wanted to kill everything that walked or crawled at one time in your life. I can't imagine.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Who are these guys with the red berets?
Those are the guardian angels, and they're there welcoming home these girls that have, welcome home, Gina. Yeah, they're welcoming home the girls that were abducted. And I believe that's the father of one of them.
Well, he's acting like he just won the Irish sweepstakes. Well, who is he?
That's the father. He's happy to see his daughter. What do you want me to tell you? There's balloons. There's,
probably got ice cream, too.
They probably have ice cream. There's balloons. There's ice cream.
What about like a cake?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably a cake. There's balloons. There's ice cream. There's a cake.
Probably have dancers. Did they have dancers?
Yeah, they probably had dancers. So you got balloons, ice cream, a cake, and dancers. And what are you talking about? You know,
I just wonder what that's a celebration. A man's pumping his fist.
Do you suppose they had any kind of rides? Did they have a merry-go-round or an octopus?
Maybe. I mean, somebody, you know.
So that means?
Boon. They have a boon, a creamite. No.
You say they got a boon? You're saying racial stuff now.
Balloons, ice cream, cake, rides, a band, and dancers. Is that enough for a welcome home party? That's what they had.
Well, you don't know. We're just speculating.
We're speculating.
I don't know for sure what they had, but it makes sense that they had balloons, rides, a cake, and whatever the hell it was. And I'm sorry if I said boon. I didn't mean to say that, Robert. I know that in some circles that could very well be taken as a racial slur.
That doesn't bother me. Yeah, I don't think it is. I think boon now just means, I think that's like a girl. No, man, it's poon.
Hey. Watch the language, will you?
No, but I think boon does mean female.
No, it doesn't.
I think it means a real hardcore female ever since this Jodi Arias case.
Yeah, because there's poon and then there's boon.
There's poon and then there's boon.
Yeah. You didn't hear that. They got the new Urban Dictionary.
The new Urban Dictionary, I don't know about this. You're telling me this?
Yes. In other words, a woman that'll kill you, I hate to say this, but a woman that will kill you is a boon.
Yeah, boondang.
Instead of poontang?
Boondang.
Uh-huh.
If you people are kidding me again.
No, I swear to God, Mr. Henry.
Well, I'm out of this. If you don't want to believe me, that's fine.
Instead of poontang, it's boondang, and that's a hard-ass chick, huh?
Don't that sound hard-ass to you? Yeah, it sounds hard-ass, but still in all, you want to tap it.
I wouldn't, you know, that's the funny thing. It sounds hard-ass, but I'd want to tap it. No, I wouldn't. Boondang? No, man, it sounds to me like some... sounds like a man-eating marsupial. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, I think it sounds tappable.
Oh, do you, bud? Well, good luck, man. Have fun. We'll be right back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, boondang. We got to that after looking at this guy from As I Lay Dying. That's a hell of a name for a band for, you know, I bet you're sorry that you named it that, buddy. Anyway, we'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth, well, you started it by saying boon.
The Phil Henry Show.
Turn the fan off here. You know, it has gotten increasingly warm, warmer here as the months, as these months leading up to the summer months warm up. In our studio here at the El Pacifico, one of the things that you don't put in down here at the old El Pacifico is you don't put in too much air conditioning. You just don't need air conditioning. Now, why do I have here, Bud, the Jill Painter and the Kings website? I want the Brian and Jill Show.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That ain't the Brian and Jill Show. The reason why I'm bringing up the Brian and Jill Show is because I'm looking for images of the Brian and Jill Show, is because they're in the news. Well, no, they're not in the news. Brian and Jill are not in the news. The morning show in Detroit of Drew and Mike is in the news. But we were talking about long-standing rock and roll morning shows. Now, here is Brian and Jill, by the way, and I just think, these guys are, I think the world of these guys, they're the nicest people. Now, the beautiful lady there on the lower right is Jill, and you will remember her from The Love Boat. She was the daughter of Captain Steubing. And I didn't know that, you know, I obviously didn't put that together with her when I did the show. I just thought she was a very funny improvisational actress. But I'm telling you right now, man, Jill Whalen is a funny woman, and she's gorgeous as hell. And here's a better picture of her, I think, anyway. Who's this guy that they're with?
Some old guy.
Here's a nice picture of her. Jill Whalen, that's Brian on the right.
Now, that Brian, man, is he a male model or something?
He's very handsome, isn't he?
Well, he's a very attractive guy, Brian, and very tanned. And all that stuff. So these guys, Mark and Brian, that's not Mark, that's Brian and Jill doing their show. Mark and Brian were on the air for a long time in the Los Angeles market. I can tell you, I think it was 87, and they just knocked off here 25 years. That's a hell of a run.
How long was Rick Dees on the air?
Rick Dees was 1979 to, I'd say he was almost 30 years, 20... Well, you know what? I think Rick Dees was about 25, 27, 28 years, maybe 30 years. So you're talking about, as morning shows go, you know, Bob and, Ken and Bob here in Los Angeles. I'm just thinking in terms of the L.A. shows that I know. Ken and Bob were on for 20-plus years. It seems that, you know, between that 20 and 25-year mark is when you are finally kind of either pushed out the door or asked to leave. Or if you're leaving on your own terms, you say, I've had it. Thank you very much. Here, take it and stick it right up your, you know, like the great way that Dick Biondi was said to have quit his gig in Buffalo by nailing his shoes to the wall with a sign that's now legendary, fill these MFers.
I don't understand that.
You gotta fill the shoes.
Oh,
you fill the shoes, and he was daring them to fill his shoes, and so in any event, we have this story from Detroit, and this is another morning show, or another long-standing, long-term, a long-time bunch of guys, the morning show there in Detroit. How did I miss it, man? Drew and Mike, and these guys were on the air at WRIF for a hell of a long time. Detroit radio lovers learned today, or I should say yesterday, which would be, yesterday's Wednesday, that Drew Lane and Mike Clark will leave the airwaves of WRIF after their May 17th edition of the show. Lane and Clark, who have hosted Drew and Mike for 22 years, alluded to news reports about their departure at the end of today's show, but said they would wait until Thursday before discussing the matter with the listeners. In the fall months, they said that they were going to be leaving. And they will be replaced by Dave Hunter and Charles Urquhart, the former hosts of the Dave and Chuck the Freak morning show on CIMX FM 88.7.
Wait a minute.
What?
First of all, that's Canadian. Second of all, 88.7, doesn't that mean?
Yeah, that means it's a public radio.
Yes.
I don't know. 88.7? Yeah, I guess it is public radio. I don't know. Let's see. Free press calls to Hunter Lane and members of their show staffs were not returned because they don't want to talk about it because you're a pain in the ass. Last fall, Hunter and Urquhart shocked fans when they revealed on Facebook that their show is ending in the month since they signed off on November the 23rd. Speculation has swirled about where they would land, and this is where they're landing. But as I said during our pre-show, there's a lot of shakeups, and that happens in the radio business. Morning shows especially are the most valuable of all shows because that's where the most number of listeners are, what we call our drive time, which is prime time in radio. Prime time in television is at night. Prime time in radio is morning and afternoon. That's when people are in their cars. That's where the ad rates go up, etc. But radio continues to do things the way it's always done things, which is in a very sloppy and bad way. They don't really know how to rate the audience, and they've got advertisers that are fleeing. And the one thing we did not get into the other night was the Rush Limbaugh story. The advertisers for Rush's show are leaving his show, but they're leaving everybody's show. What you're not hearing is the advertisers are leaving talk radio. And the reason why they're leaving talk radio is because they're sick and tired of having to deal with groups that are boycotting their asses or groups that are criticizing what they're doing or otherwise, you know, doing stuff that's blowing them away and bugging them, you know. So if you're the guy that runs the Joey Bubblegum Company and you get a phone call from somebody saying, hey, you're on the so-and-so show. If you don't, we're going to boycott Joey's Bubblegum. Well, what are you going to think?
I'd tell a guy to go straight down to the horned one.
If you're the guy that runs Joey's Bubblegum.
No, you won't, because you want Joey's Bubblegum to succeed. So you'll say to the man, yes, sir.
No, I'm not. The guy... just trying to tell me what to do.
Well, you're the kind of advertiser that talk radio should have courted more of. See, the talk radio was trying to just get any old advertiser. That's why they would put Mike Huckabee on the air. That's why they would put Fred Thompson on the air. That's why they would put all these underqualified jackasses on the air and then steal money from the advertisers because these guys didn't know any better. And then finally, here comes some guy that wants the boycott, and these advertisers get scared, and they're splitting. And now what do we have? We have no advertisers in talk radio. They're all going over to sports radio. Talk radio is essentially dead. It's dead. It's dead, Red. Okay? 22 years. 22 years. And I've never known that man to forget a number. Now all of a sudden you're trying to tell me he forgot a number? If he goes back and he checks the count, and he finds that number is wrong... you is dead, Red. Dead, dead, dead.
Malcolm X.
Exactly. World famous Phil Henry Show produced by me and Dan Northcraft. Join us tonight at 10 o'clock, 1 o'clock Eastern for more. And let that be a lesson to you.
You are dead, 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 Red. If I check the count.
How's it go? I'll teach you later.
Phil Hendry.